Welcome to another episode of Dad Can We Talk. I'm your host, Anthony Ray. We're back with episode 17. And today, I got a guest. His name is Kevin Green. And we're going to talk all things fatherhood, like always. How you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good, man. Appreciate you for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So y'all know how we do it on Dad Can We Talk. We're going to keep it real. We ain't gonna hold nothing back, and we're just gonna talk, you know, just off the top, man. You know, we all, you know, my first question I like to always ask is, what was your relationship like with your dad?
My relationship with my dad, and it's still currently today, I'm blessed to even be able to say that, was awesome. Awesome. And the more I look back on it, the more realize how important it is to be a father, how important it is to have a father, and what that guidance and wisdom can do for you, for your life. It's a blessing in itself. Yeah, so my dad, by the way, I got 9 brothers. I got 5 sisters now, yeah. So you can only imagine, big family. Came from up north. Now my father, his father wasn't the best father. And my father didn't have a great relationship with his father. So basically, as my dad would say it, you know what I mean? That was, he gave me the wisdom. He gave me the wisdom and showed me how to be a father through his actions. So that was one of the reasons why he wanted to put in so much time with us. But my father, like the relationship with my father, it's like a deep thing, because I see what the trend was. You know, my father's typical with certain things that he went through worldly, that reflects on today. But the fact that he's always downplayed and never let that stop him from achieving is what I admire the best and the most about my father. He's awesome with that. So.
That's real, man. Where are you in that lineup between all those children?
I am the middle, so I was son number 4. All right. Yeah, so son number 4, you know, I had a lot of growing up to do. A lot of catching up to do. But I was like, one of the special ones, I got a chance to see my older brothers. And I mean, I got 3 chances to see what they do, basically, before it's on me. And I watched how they grew up and learned from that and did some things my way, and here I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real. So you like me, my mom had 3 sons, but I'm the middle, so.
Right.
And this is something that I like to talk about, the dynamic of that middle child, because I don't know about for you, but for me, it was something that, you know, it was hard for me being that middle, especially when it was only 3 of us.
Correct.
And with my oldest brother being, you know, this super popular person.
Right.
You know, everybody loved, he was my mom's oldest child and my dad's oldest child.
Right.
So he was like the oldest of everyone. And then my youngest brother from my mom, he's his dad's oldest child.
Right.
And my dad and my mom's baby.
Right.
So it was like, I've always felt like they had this special attention.
Right.
You know, rather it was, you know, I wouldn't say it was something that was intentional, but it was just how it was.
Right.
You know? And I always felt like it was just me. Like, I'm just this. I'm just in the middle. You know, it's like, you know, and I always joke and I say, you know, I'm the only, out of my mom's child, I'm the only light-skinned one.
Right.
You know, so it was like, I don't know, I just always had this. I had it. Like, I was just always in this middle and always felt like I had to fight for my chance or the attention.
Right.
And I always, honestly, like, at times, I didn't feel loved.
Right, right.
Because I was in that middle.
Right.
I always felt like I was always just overlooked, you know.
Right.
And I'm not sure if that's something that you dealt with, being a middle child.
Well, now my house was, I gotta say, on my mom's side, I was the only one for 10 years, then my sister came. On my dad's side, the house was very competitive. My dad is an athlete. My dad was a four-sport athlete.
Wow.
So we will always be competitive. And the fact that my dad did a lot of sports and he got into entrepreneurship early. By the way, my dad dropped out of school in the 10th grade. My dad dropped out of school in 10th grade and started working with his hands. He knew how to fix a car. He knew how to build a house from scratch. So he started buying houses and fixing them up. That's what my father does. So we was always around my dad. We had to help him get houses. And then it turned into we going somewhere and we throwing a football around. So it was very competitive in my house. I didn't have to necessarily fight for love or attention, but I definitely had to compete with my brothers, period. Like, that can go to anything. And it wasn't no... we arguing for 20 minutes. If you can't argue for more than 5 minutes when my dad said, hey, it's boxing gloves downstairs, but we need to go get three rounds out the way, let's get it done. But we ain't gonna keep arguing. That's what we're not gonna do. So you had a decision to make, basically. It wasn't really no, I didn't need to feel like that. Now, when dynamics changed, like it was a time where, you know, my father was away. And my mom, I guess my mom and my dad really went through some things where whatever problem was, I wasn't able to be around my dad. I was with my mom. And I mean, those were some dynamics that changed around me. You know, I mean, where I lived at, I moved from Germantown. I was in North Philadelphia. Like, I was raised up in North Philadelphia. So I learned a different way. And that's kind of where I guess I became my own man. I got molded in becoming my own man.
Yeah.
But also knowing, you know, how important my dad is. So, with things like that, I didn't have to worry about, you know, the love, the manly love, you know what I mean? My dad did a great job with that part, I would say, with all of us always being together. Talk about we going to football fields, we the team. We all on the same team. He make us on the team. We go to basketball court, we all on the same team. So all of those things, like, and that's actually how I am now with my daughters. You know, it's got four girls, so yeah. But we go to the court, we all a team. Yeah, we all a team. You, I'm trying to tell you, you ain't never experienced something with all girls in the house and just you.
Man.
That's that L you gonna take. That's that, that L you gonna take.
Without them, make my stomach hurt.
Right.
See, I'm almost there. I got just me as me and my one son.
Right.
But just having my wife and my two daughters, bro.
Man.
And it's so funny you said that because I'm in church today.
Right.
My son is chilling, bro.
Right.
Chilling, just vibing.
Right.
Bro, my daughters were like, bro, they just like in the most, I don't know what they were on, bro. They were just like, it's this attention thing. It's like, they just, bro, I can't even explain it, bro. It's like, they're just...
That's the good.
Like, you just that's in your feelings about what? Bro, literally for nothing.
And they can be in their feelings.
And you're just like, I'm like, man, I just don't understand this here.
They all wired.
And my son
different.
Is just, bro, he just sitting back. He just minding his own
Who's
business.
The oldest?
Like, my son is the middle.
Right.
My son is the middle, and I got my oldest daughter is 7. Then I got a 3-year-old daughter.
Oh, she run the house. She run everything.
That's what she wants. My son is 4. So my son was like, oh, I can't let you do this. So they're constantly in this battle.
Yeah.
And it's, man, that's a hard thing, man. So what tips would you give men that are raising daughters? Like, how, like, what approach do you take to raising daughters? Like,
just remember they watching you. So your greatness speak volumes. Your greatness in the house speak volumes to your girls. Your greatness on how you treat your wife speak volumes to your girls on what they want to become, what they want to achieve. And it's really up to you to really unlock their minds.
Yeah.
One thing about having a daughter, it's going to change you because you're going to understand that young ladies are wired differently than boys. So you have to even reach their side, you have to start to rewire yourself. It teach you new things. It teach you new boundaries. And then you get to see, well, you, knowing your wife, you would know women are, they are superheroes.
Yeah.
They are superheroes. And when you tap into your wife and y'all coming together and the kids see that, the foundation is there, and the foundation is the most important part. Because they're going to do what they want to do. Like, it's going to come a time where they're going to do what they want to do, but they're always going to be grounded, and that foundation matters. They're going to always remember that. They're going to always revert to that if that house is doing the most powerful thing, and that's being together. So that would be the tip that I would give, like, bringing up daughters. And that's one thing that is number one in my house to do.
That's real. Yeah. How long you been married?
I've been married, it's going on, dang, so December will be our fourth year of marriage. Yeah. Been together 7.
Okay.
December, that'll be 4 years, and we looking forward to 5. We renew our vows, we do something nice. Yeah, yeah. But I love being married.
Yeah.
Yeah, the married life is the best life, for real. I mean, to be honest, you putting in work with one person, like, you out there, if you out there in the game, you ain't got time to put in that much work with that. I mean, like, that don't make sense. So, and it's if it ain't about family, it's pointless, you wasting time.
That's real.
Yeah, so that's what it's about.
Yeah, yeah. Man, that's real. I'm on this year, I just hit 8 years marriage.
Woo!
10 years, right? Together for 11 years.
Right.
This year.
Right.
And it's like, you know, like you say, it had its rough patches.
Right.
You know, but I wouldn't trade it for nothing.
No.
And one thing I always say is, you know, marriage is, I think most people when they fail at marriage, it's because they fail to realize that marriage isn't about making you happy.
Right.
Marriage is about making you grow.
Right. The growth.
Marriage is all about growth, bro. It's,
right.
That's all it's been for me.
You know,
it's been me learning
about
myself through my wife.
Right.
My wife is teaching me that I'm impatient at times.
Right.
You know, teaching me that, you know, for a long time, bro, it's like I didn't know how to really deal with the woman because I never seen that. You know, I grew up seeing, you know, my dad with my mom and stuff. So for me, it was just my relationship with women was always through what I seen other men doing when I was growing up.
Right.
Uncles and friends, just people in the neighborhood.
Right.
We objectified them.
You know,
we made them into objects. And going into marriage, it was like, oh, okay, cool.
Right.
You know, now I can just have sex, you know, whenever. And it was all about sex.
Right.
But then I had to realize, like, bro, this is so much more than sex. Bro, that's like, that's just part. Like, that's just, bro, that's.
But you know how many men, like you said, we objectified them. It was just how we was brought up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And if you didn't get to see it, your mom with your dad, then you was gonna be out there.
Straight
like, so that time when I was, like I said, I was with my mom, I was raised by my grandma. And my grandma, one of the key things about her was she was purely love.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so much evil around. But she was purely love. Like, she had nothing but unconditional love. She held down the house, she held down the floor. She's a big mama. Period.
Yeah.
She don't watch all the kids, everything. Everybody cutting up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got aunts on drugs, you know, uncles on, you know how it go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She is the one that's love. And it makes you want to treat differently. But it also makes you, you know, when you don't know, if you're not aware, that's why that father is so important.
That's real.
Of what you're capable of. You don't even know what you're capable of. And I think a lot of men get the short end of the stick, especially black men, for what we had to make it out of to show our own genius.
It's real, bro.
To show our own genius, to show what we are becoming. Like, come on, man. I remember in second grade, we was brought up on a movie that was called A Hero Ain't Nothing But a Sandwich.
I ain't never
even seen it. Listen, Cicely Tyson was young when this movie came out.
Yeah.
And Cicely Tyson, by the way, was a fox. No lie. That's how old this movie is. I can't even make this up. I can't make this up. But it was basically a movie about a young kid addicted to crack.
Yeah.
He was addicted to crack. He was only like in a sixth grade when he got addicted to crack. You know what I'm saying? So, but he, you know, his stepdad is the one that like saved him. Like he ain't had no father figure. But we had to watch this along. You know, you watched Scarface and all that. We didn't. Only thing you got to see of a black man being there for a woman really was you had your Huxtables, and you see how they turned him out.
Yeah.
And then you had a Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Uncle Phil, you know what I'm saying? And that's how men had to learn, quote unquote. A lot of men didn't have that man. Like, and so when my dad was home, my dad been married 25 years, I at least, you know, I got to see that, you know. And my dad is full of wisdom, always been wisdom, always. You see him sometimes have to speak from a man's point of view, like, hey, ain't nobody gonna be able to tell me I can't see my kids. That's a man's point of view. And I don't know why that get overlooked so much. Like, if a man say, man, I don't care nothing about what that judge say. I need to be with my kids. I need to be able to take care of my kids. Y'all need to make that happen. Like, a man shouldn't have to go through that to see his kids, to be with his kids. Not ever, unless he's a criminal, a real criminal to the kid.
Yeah.
But if he out here providing, hey man, let's cut the games out. Need to be able to take care of his kids. Yeah, you can't play that way with anyway. I dare you try to take a woman kids. I dare you play with a woman kids if you want to and see the see what the outcome. So, you know, as men coming up, you know, that's already a scar. That's already a scar on, you know, just a trauma issue, you know, of what they got to see and what makes you see women in another light as just a sexual object.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So,
that's
yeah.
That's real, man.
Yeah.
It's definitely a process that we, I think most men, like you said, most black men, we, once you get married, you go through that process.
Right.
Having to realize that, okay, this woman is, she's way worth way more than that. You know?
Right.
She's a precious jewel.
Right.
And I can't remember what movie I got it from. I think it was a movie called Fireproof. And where he said something along these lines, like, a woman is like a flower.
Right.
He said something about her being like a flower, and if you treat her right, you'll watch her bloom.
Right.
Something like that. And I just always remember that, like, damn,
right.
You know, just seeing over the years how my wife has
right
bloom, you know, she's like, I've been with my wife since she was 18
years
old.
Right.
I was 20.
Right.
You know, I'm 31 now.
Right.
29.
Right.
You know, so we've been together for a minute and I've literally been able to watch her grow as a woman, bro.
Right.
Literally.
Fascinating.
And you know, it's just something that I wouldn't trade for anything,
right,
bro, because we've been through
right
so many things, bro. And, yeah, like, that's why, like you say, man, marriage is something that I think in our community is overlooked because it's not spoken of like that. You know,
right.
It's not really spoken highly.
Right. The norm is black men don't vote, black men don't take care of their kids,
yeah,
black men don't take care of their wife, and men is blah, blah, blah. That is not our norm. We have black men out here, as me and you are talking right now,
really?
That's very educated, that vote, that take care of our wives, that raise our kids. So let's start to end that stigma right there. Like, and we can do it amongst each other by just doing stuff like this. That's why this is so powerful and so meaningful to me, because you got to be able to know black men is out here doing what they're supposed to do, being good citizens every day. We're not on no violent stuff. We're not talking about violence. We're talking about taking care of our family and raising them and being the kings and queens that we are.
Straight up, bro.
Yeah.
I want to get your opinion on this, man. What do you think about the current state of black men and where, like, if you go, like, I always like to look at how we're in 2020 now.
Mm.
If you go back 100 years,
mm-hmm,
you know, back to 1920s,
mm-hmm,
you know, that's Black Wall Street era,
mm-hmm,
era. And you look at where we were then,
mm-hmm.
what do you think would take for us right now to get back to that as a community?
What's going on right now?
Yeah,
you got destroyed before you elevate. And I don't mean to say it that way. But it takes this for us to come together. We coming together. I don't know. People don't look at it how I look at it. But I'm telling you, me and you wouldn't be here right now if we wasn't coming together. You know what I'm saying? And it's all about what you can control as yourself as the black man. And believe that. If you believe that it ain't nobody out here, ain't no help out here, or it ain't nobody gonna do it, and you ain't doing it, that's your excuse, and you ain't gonna do it, then you ain't gonna do it. But if you believe that it's people out here playing their role and doing it, listen, they've been doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I've been doing what I've been doing my whole life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been supposed to happen, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I'm just looking at it like, oh, y'all just talking about it now? We finally gonna get this done? Are we going to do it? You know, if we gonna do it, then what's up? If not, then I gotta keep doing. It ain't nothing changed for me.
Yeah.
Ain't no Father's Day for me. Every day is Father's Day.
Right,
you know what I mean? So, on that standpoint, like, I feel like, what's going on right now? Y'all seeing it right now? It's the time to come together more than anything, and build and want to be better. You know what I mean? And want us to be better. And how we look at it is how we look at it. Everybody gonna have a different point of view. So. Whatever you want, voice your opinion. Get out here and do the right thing and fight the good fight and get what we need, speak what we need.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real. Because I think the media, like you say, for me, the media for years, and this is one of the things that made me want to do this podcast.
Right.
Because I started seeing the way that we were portrayed in the media.
Right.
At times, it was just things that was simply untrue, bro.
Right.
You know, a very untrue picture of what black fathers, for one.
Right.
The fact that, okay, of course there are black fathers that aren't in the home. There's, of course there's ones missing and this and that.
Right.
But that's not our story. That's not the total story where black men are missing.
Right.
Or black fathers aren't in the home. Or black fathers aren't involved.
Right.
That's a lot of people's story.
Right.
But I think right now there's so many, like, my point, I think this was not last year, this is 2018.
Right.
2018 for Black History Month, I was like, man, you know what? Man, for all the 28 days of this month,
right,
I can highlight a black dad right now.
Right.
That's like totally destroying the narrative
right
out there about black men.
Right.
And so for every day of that month, 28 days, I'm like, I'm having a hard time finding who I was going to do because
right.
I'm like, I know too many.
Really? Right.
And, you know, I was like, man, dang, like,
right.
that wasn't enough.
Right.
Like,
no.
And then I said, man, I got to do a podcast. I got to
right.
do something where I can, like, really allow these men
right.
I want to create a platform for these men where they can come and tell their story.
Right.
It was never about me.
Right.
It was never about, look at what Anthony Ray is doing. As
right.
dad. I'm like, man, about me.
Right.
Man, I want to highlight all these other guys
right.
that's doing
right.
10 times more than what the media says.
Right.
And now I look at myself as a media member now. You
right.
know, I'm majoring in media communication. I'm like,
right.
I'm going to change. I'm going to kill what the media is saying.
Right.
I'm going to put this out there.
Right.
Because I just really believe it's important, man. And, I think everything that's happened,
right,
you know, in the last few years, man, I think it's gotten to finally this year. I'm starting to see what people are starting to say, okay, I think we can come together. We don't need all the outside things. You know, we got enough right here.
Right.
You know, and I just believe that when black men say, you know, when we get to the point where we say, man, we're going to come together and we don't need this community over here. We don't need these people over here. We don't need this. We don't
right.
need that. We have each
other. Right. It's for us. It's for
us,
to,
us man.
To blossom. That's big. And we can definitely do that. And I hope that is the cause that we are doing that. You know what I mean? And we get back to Black Wall Street again. Hopefully that'll happen again. Maybe we'll see it in a different way.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll build more all black colleges.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have it that way. Maybe sports will be, you know, in the all black colleges. I don't know. You know, you never know. But we're so great.
Yeah.
We're so awesome that you have no clue what we can do. I mean, the things that we are doing right now that people can't even fathom, the things that we went through, you know, to get to where we at, that they can't fathom. How did they get here? Because we've been doing it, babe. We've been doing it. The whole time we've been doing it through all of that, which y'all say we ain't. Yeah, we is.
So what do you think about this? What do you think about Howard signing Mecure Maker? What was that? Just a few days ago.
It's
one of the biggest signings for
all-black college.
All-black college, man.
I think it's big. I think it's just due. It's what I was talking about what I just mentioned about, you know, what if we started our own league and renovated the black colleges and built more black colleges, you know what I mean? But for Howard to get a big recruit like that, and then you see a lot of all black schools changing their conferences. It's a lot of shuffling going around. Hopefully more black schools get bigger recruits. Hopefully they be the cream of the crop, and we get to watch all black colleges more, and we get to learn about them more, learn the history of them more. And good luck to that kid. I hope Howard put together a great program where he in the gym and he working and they do big things. You know what I mean? On a side note, one thing I would laugh about: I remember being in college and being recruited by two black colleges. And I went there on a Tuesday on a visit, and they was partying on a Tuesday. It was turnt. I used to go to Howard homecomings and classics.
Yeah.
Classic. So stay focused. Hopefully they got a great basketball program for the kid, man, and he put in some serious work while he out there.
Man, I hope Mikey Williams follow right behind him,
man. And that would just be the wave, you know. That's the wave, and that's what it's all about, man. It's all about changing, and you know, for what's best for you. You know what I mean? And what's best for your people, what you think is gonna be best for them. And everybody don't have the heart to do this change and have the how can I say this? Have their chance to create that type of change. Mm-hmm. You know, people get mad over because they didn't think like that person. That person not gonna think like you. That's what make them so unique. So for these young men to come out and be unique and make decisions like this, I applaud them 110%. I applaud them, and I hope more follow, open the floodgates, and youngins, listen, ball. Pick that ball up. Make sure you pick them books up. If you're going to get in basketball, learn the business. They ain't throwing this money in front of you for no reason. Learn the business, because they'll take it from you.
Straight up. That's real, man. like you say, bro, that's something that I've been looking forward to. You know, when I seen that signing the other day, it was just something for me. I'm like, wow. Yeah, that's what I want to see, you know. And now, like I say, I seen Mikey Williams.
Right.
He said, you know, he kind of put a little hint out there. I'm like, okay.
You're going to shake up the world.
That'll be something, man, because I think, like, honestly, I don't understand. You know, I was talking with a guy at my job about it, and he was like, oh, well, you know, they're trying to go to the league. But I'm like, bruh, like Shannon Sharp always says, it don't matter where you playing at.
Right.
If you doing what you're supposed to do, they going to come find you.
Right.
He always says, he played at what, Savannah State.
Right.
You know, a small college, you think of somebody like Antonio Brown. I forgot what college he went to. He went to a small college. Mm-hmm. There's so many guys. I remember the dude, Chris Anderson.
Right.
From a community college.
Right.
You know, and I'm like, it don't matter really where you go at, and it ain't like these black colleges can't make it to the tournament. They might get a 16 seed, 15 seed, but
a lot of times they always get a 16 seed. It's hard for them to get ranked in the country is very rare. Yeah. And they have to win their conference just to make it, which as a Power Five like Kentucky can be barely over 500 and still make it. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, all of those play a factor, but it still don't matter if you win it.
Yeah.
As far as the schools you pick, if you're doing the right thing, like you said, you know, and they got the things in place, they're going to come see you. A five-star recruit, they're going to make sure they come see you. And the stage going to be set. One thing about it, we support the sport. So the stage going to be set. Contrary to they believe to think that we don't support the sport.
Yeah.
They know better.
Straight up.
This is the sport that we play. So
yeah, man. It's going to be. I think a lot of things have changed. I mean, you look at, what's his name? Alonzo brother.
Alonzo Ball? The younger one, LaMelo?
Melo, yeah. You see the route he took.
Right.
Getting the attention. Right. Even on RJ Hampton.
They call his dad an idiot.
Yeah.
They call his dad
an idiot. I want to ask you about that, man.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about LeVar? Person, I love him. What do you think about LeVar? Like, I mean, the media has literally, bro.
That's all, but.
Destroyed.
But not really. If they ain't saying nothing, if they saying something, you getting paid. So all press is good press in their eyes. But he a genius in his own right. You can say whatever you want. You got two sons about to be first round picks.
I mean,
lottery picks.
Yeah.
So I mean, his what he's telling you is not a lie all the way. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, do he fabricate stuff and pump him up. Yeah, but that's in his own opinion in his own right, as he should be able to do.
I love it.
And things coming to fruition at the same time. Yeah. And then when you go buy a team in Australia, you know, you're ahead. He understand. Yeah. He understand the game. He understand the game very well. And you know, people are gonna be entertained.
Yeah.
Entertain them. That's what his job is to do.
Yes, sir. Man, I've been reaching out to him. You better believe it. One day, boy, if you listen to this, one day, bro, you gonna be on Dad Can We Talk.
Right.
We gonna talk, my boy.
Right.
We gonna talk.
Right.
We gonna really chop it up.
Right.
I've been emailing that brother right now, boy.
Now, you see how crazy that is? And you see how crazy all of that is, right? Where he have different point of views. He has different point of views. A lot of brothers have different point of views. One thing I would like to say is, I would never hate my brother for his point of views. I don't, rather that be political views or anything. I'm not gonna hate you. I'm not gonna just, I'm disowning my brother because he a Republican or he a Democrat. No. Because, come on, man, they've been together for years, them two parties, and they seem to always be on the same side when you see them at political things.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll see Obama gotta shake Trump's hand. They on the same side regardless you like it or not. So I'm always gonna be on my brother's side. My brother support me, I'm gonna support my brother. You know what I mean? I'm not gonna disown you because of your view of what you had to go through to get your family together, to take care of your family. So that's one way of how you support your brother. Like, Ball, what, you? I'm gonna be mad at you because you getting your kids in better positions and making them draft lottery picks? I'm gonna be mad at you? No, bro, we gotta support that. We gotta support that. Now, I might not buy the sneaks.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I might not have bought no sneaks. I might not paid all that money. But you know what? Melo come to town. Hey, I'm gonna buy some tickets. I'm going to the game. You know what I mean? We gonna shout him out on here. Like, that's love. That's how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, boy. Mark, send me some of them triple B's.
I need some.
I need some of those ZO2s. Yeah, man, I need some of the CO2. If you're listening, my brother, I need you, boy. Hear me. I need you on Dad Can We Talk To. Yeah, man, but, it's something that, you know, I love that brother, man. You know, like you say, I understand his tactics, all that. And I love it, bro. I'm just like, I just feel like we need somebody like him to come shake it up, you know, and make it interesting and do things, you know. Like my boy say, who you know coming to the league with their own shoe?
Right.
Hey, that's real. I don't know. I ain't never seen it.
Got to be willing to change the game.
That's real, man.
Got to be willing to change the game. I don't knock none of our brothers out here that's trying to change the game. And there's so many of us that be just knocking us, and they quick to, you know, call us names and bring black guys down. Hey man, ain't no knocking. This gotta be the year of the love for us, for the brothers. Like,
straight up, we
really come from the mud. Like, entrepreneurship, come on, man.
Yeah.
You coming from the mud. We ain't getting loans and anything else. We building this. We putting everything in it. So, you know, get them boys some much love, respect, much more respect, and just understand that we vibing. Brothers, mm-hmm. When brothers come together, world is a different place. It's a better place.
That's real. I want to ask you about this. What do you think could be a solution to help the youth right now? There's been a lot of youth violence right here in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
I woke up this morning, seen mm-hmm. a story where two young men, 25 and 24,
mm-hmm.
I guess they were brothers, man. They just caught attempted murder charges. I guess they pulled up on someone's car Friday night, shot through the car or whatever. I know a lot of young men just right here, man. Too many, bro, right now, facing either robbery with firearm, murder charges, attempted murder charges, just all of these things. And a big question that's been coming up around the city lately has been, you know, how do we help our youth? You know, what can we do in Gainesville, Florida,
right,
in order to reach the youth and be able to help them?
Right.
I wonder what's your opinion on that.
Now, I can't speak for everybody, but I know what I do for my part, no matter what city I go to. So one of the biggest things that I incorporated in was Brotherly Love. Mm-hmm. Brotherly Love is a mentoring program. So what I do is I make sure that I go around all the schools in the Gainesville area. I've been going around and I speak at these schools. I take kids up under my wing. I go check on them, make sure they got their grades up to par. And then if they want to do athletics, I train them to do athletics. I get them out the homes. All I can do is just try to be that example, man, that guidance and that hands-on. Some kids just need hands-on. Like, the first thing that we touched on was father figures. Do they have father figures? Do they father figures, you know? And then you got these fathers that's out here working, you know, job, two and three jobs. They ain't home. Can somebody depend on you, you know, depend on you to, like, step in and help them out to be able to get out their own thoughts? Do I think there's enough stuff here for the youth? I think we could do more of doing more for these kids, whether it's sports or more after school activities. For example, when I came here, man, I was used to having a basketball league for my daughter, you know, and I had to wait numerous weeks. That's how this really started out here in Gainesville. I had it in Texas, and I went out to all the city places, and I'm like, you know, where can my daughter play? And it was like August, and they was like, she gotta wait till January till this league start.
Yeah.
What? No, we ain't waiting till no January. So I guess I gotta start stuff on my own. Like, they need to be in the gym. They need to be in the gym every day. You know, you get 2 weeks off, then you right back at it. Some type of extracurriculum, not just go home. You know, not just go home and be home. And then you got girls that say, oh, I gotta watch my brother. They basically moms. So then what do you think they doing? If you ain't home babysitting your kids, what you think your kids is really getting into? So extracurriculum things and just the guidance is one of the biggest things that we can have for our kids. Like, if they into things, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's basketball. I don't care if it's golf. I don't care if it's the piano. If they into things, they into things. They learning about things. Entrepreneurship, taking a trade. They learning this stuff at an early age. We talked about it again. That foundation is important. That those type of things linger on as they get older, and you want that to be around. So, as a man, and the father and the husband that gets out, the first thing I always do is, no matter what community I am, I'm in, I'm gonna get out and I'm gonna be a part of that community. I'm gonna help that community. You need volunteer coaches? I don't care if I gotta volunteer my time. I'm gonna volunteer my time to make sure that my kid have a good path and everything, and these rest of these kids have a good city to live in, a good part of town to live in. So we could just do more of that. And that's something us men can do. It's coming together. Is, hey man, we need more of this. And we can create our own. And we can do that for our kids. We should do a better job of it.
That's real. And I can't agree with you anymore, because, you know, that's something that I've been preaching that stuff for years, you know, not just preaching, but been doing it, you know.
Right.
Actually, probably since 2012.
Right, right.
I think maybe in between 2011 and 2016, man, we did, bro, I can't even count how many community events we've done. Basketball
right.
tournaments,
right.
bad football tournaments,
that stuff matters. Yeah. 2K
tournaments, just play, things that we could just go into the neighborhoods and just
right.
interact with the kids.
Right.
But one thing that we always realized, and we were just doing it with our church. You
right.
Just, and our church is like me and you, basically.
Right. right.
Me and maybe 3-4 other guys.
Right.
And it's like, we did it for so long and for so many years, right? You know, one, and then we started having families. You know, I started
right.
having kids, and my
right.
boys started having kids, and after a while, it became so hectic to the point
right.
where it's like, bro, we can't, and we couldn't never find enough help
right.
at the time within the community. Like,
right.
dang, bro, like,
yeah.
can y'all come out?
I'm sad that I'm sad that I'm just meeting you and we just getting here. But I'm also glad, because at the same time, now I know.
Yeah.
Like, I'm never going to stop coming back up here to make sure Gainesville has what it needs. Like, I'm never going. Gainesville always had a special place in my heart. Like, I went to Santa Fe. Again, I'm from Philadelphia. I got recruited to play basketball for Santa Fe. And ever since that I was in the community, ever since I got involved in the community, I've always wanted to be involved. So when I came back to coach at Santa Fe, I made sure that this time that I really got out in the community and put in some work to really try to put it in a better place, in a better space. And I will continue to do that, you know what I'm saying? So I'm gonna make sure that we continue to always, you know, have some work together and have something linked up where we can do something where we helping the youth here.
Yeah, it's very important, man. And yeah, we need more men to step up. I think that's really the biggest thing. I think the kids need mentorship. They need
right.
they need men that can teach them skills.
Right.
One of my things, what I really want to do, I want to teach kids graphic design.
Mm.
I want to teach them. If I could teach them how to create a logo for someone.
Right.
And they can begin to make money for themselves.
Right.
Know, because really, that's what I found. The youth here that
right.
I talk with,
right,
these just want money.
Right.
You know, that's their, they're like, we don't even want to play basketball, bro. We just want to make
money.
Some money.
Right. Right.
And so they're going in whatever route they gotta take, you know,
right.
to get some money.
Because they making men decisions at early ages.
Yeah.
They gotta get out and work at 13.
That's real.
They gotta get out and watch this person. They wanna help this person. They wanna help this person. There's so much on their shoulders at a young age. And I can't, listen, I do basketball for a living.
Yeah.
Basketball been taking care of me for a long time. And gotta honestly say, you know, they ain't throwing this money in y'all face for no reason. And I hope y'all understand that these youngins out here are the closest thing to Einstein. Like, these youngins are so smart. This generation is so smart. But now they're gonna take that greed, that money. And if you, all the thing you want to do is make money, they're going to put you in the league and that money is going to run out. You're not going to be able to take care of your own family, your whole family, on that money that they're giving you, that they're just throwing in your face. It's up to you to become a good person. It's up to you to go in and put in the work. It's up to you to know the business and to know how to invest and make smart investments to take care of your money, to grow, to be something. And if you guys don't know that, you're going to lose that money as fast as you get that money. So learn that business, man. Learn that business. Education is very important. Very, very important. Guidance from good people.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things I thought that messed up AAU basketball was, no, everybody can't be good people and good coaches. There's too many of those that's messing it up. We need good people out here helping these kids and helping and developing these kids to grow, to be something. One thing that I'm proud of Brotherly Love is, was like 75% of our kids went on to play college basketball. I was proud of that as a whole. So I want to make sure that we continue to do that.
That's real. That's real, man. Well, I want to ask you this. Knowing what you know now, what advice would you give to an 18-year-old Kevin Green?
Simple. It's all mental. No matter what you're going through, it's all mental. You got to stick to your game plan, tunnel vision, head down, don't let nobody else affect that. It's all mental. That's simply what I would give myself.
It's real. And last question. Is there anything that you would like to say to any other young father out there listening right now?
Yeah. Just be great in everything that you do. The most important thing to do is keep God first. If God is not leading you, you're not going to go down the right path. I'm telling you, I call my dad when I'm venting to my dad, right? And my dad always say, like, is you talking to her? Is you talking to her through the Bible? God got to be first. Like, you know what I mean? He'll make me spaz quick. But it's so real. The wisdom he gave me about, you know, being able to speak to God, being able to talk to God every day is a blessing. It's he going to give you the overview. When you talk to God, if you know how to talk to God and understand him, understand when he talks to you, you know how to listen, sit still, and listen. And he'll make you sit still sometimes. But when you know how to sit still and hear him, the guidance that he give you is unmatched. The guidance that he allow you to be able to tap into your relationship and begin to heal your wife or help your wife for growth, help your family for growth, is unmatched. And it's inevitable that you're going to be great if you know how to do that. So that would be the one thing I would tell you right there.
I can't add nothing to that, you know. That's the truth, man. You know, I couldn't do it, bro.
No.
Without God, bro, you know, I would have been gave up on my family, bro. I would have been gave up on my wife a long time ago,
man,
bro.
I'm talking,
and I ain't even just saying it. You know, a lot of people say it'd be cliche,
right,
type stuff. No, like, for real, for real.
Right.
I would have been gave up, bro.
Like, right.
I probably would have gave up on my marriage in maybe the first 2 years.
Right.
Honestly.
When it's the hardest.
Yeah. I probably would have gave up then. And then, like, after children.
Right.
You know, I think it would have been very hard for me to just give up on my children. But, oh Lord, my wife just texted me. Lord. But yeah, man, I would have been gave up on it all, man. So yeah, I think that what you said was the truth, bro. So any other young father out there, young man, period, if you're out here listening, follow that advice, man. Keep God first. You know, man can't lead you nowhere but to destruction. And I speak for myself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't listen to nothing that I say. Unless it's, if you can't follow it up with the word, man, do not listen to nothing that I say. I tell you that for me. Don't take nothing that I say just on face value. You know, always go back and go verify whatever. You know, do your due diligence. And don't just take advice from anybody. And don't take anything that people just say to you. You know, you always got to go back. You know, verify. You know, go read for yourself sometimes. You know, go and do your own research and do your own studying for yourself. Don't just listen to what your brother say. Don't listen to what your mama, your daddy say, your pastor. I don't care who it is. Do not just take people's word just to take it. Always go back and do your own due diligence.
Amen.
To find out for yourself. And we gonna wrap it up on that note right there, man. But I really enjoyed this right
here. Yeah, sure. Anytime. Like I said, it's not gonna be the last time.
Yeah,
this is not gonna be the last time. There's plenty of work to do, and it begins with us. You know what I mean? And the men that's really out here wanting to put in that action, and they constantly seeking that, it's gonna happen.
Straight up,
it's gonna happen. God found amazing people, and they put them together. That's what he do.
Straight up. Well, y'all, that wrapped up episode 17 of Dad Can't We Talk. It's your boy Anthony Ray with my man Kevin Green. We calling it a night.
Hey.
God be blessed.
Peace.